think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. One of the things that we have to remember is that imagination fundamentally is about memory, because you can't think of anything that isn't already in your head. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head.
And Rebecca.
Today, on imagination and change.
Human beings have a capacity that, as far as we know, is not shared with any other primates or any other organism for that matter, and that we can time travel in our heads. Right? We can think back about things in the past and recall them, sometimes very vividly, and we can imagine things in the future. Now, what that allows us is we don't have to just be responding to the vicissitudes of life, you know, and just kind of reacting to things that come upon us. We can actually imagine what would happen if, and then make decisions based on that imagination without actually having to experience some, you know, reinforcer or punisher that's going to shape our behavior. Now, that's a powerful tool. And I think many times when people are in a place and you think, I don't know how to get out of here, often it's because I can't imagine what it would be like if I wasn't here. And that's a terrible reason to be somewhere, right? To think I can't even imagine any other places, because there's a lot of things out there, a lot of people out there, a lot of world out there that is potentially wonderful if you take the time to imagine what might be possible. Now, for some people, that's not so difficult a task. For other people, it's a tremendously difficult task because they're not practiced at doing that. And they may need some assistance in using their imagination to think about alternatives to a situation that they think is, you know, some irrevocable thing that they're locked into.
And I think one of the things that we have to remember is that imagination fundamentally is about memory, because you can't think of anything that isn't already in your head. Now, what does this mean? Well, if I'm this student, for example, who's contemplating a change in major, when I think about myself, I and my situation serve as a retrieval cue to memory. I now reach into memory and pull out all sorts of things that are related to who I think I am and what I've always thought my career path was going to be and what I thought my life was going to be like. And that creates imagery about who I am and what I'm going to do. So what we know about memory is, if you want to get something different out of memory, you have to ask your memory a different question. So, for example, everyone out there in the listening audience, for a moment, I'd like you to think about romaine lettuce. And what do you come up with now? Caesar salads and maybe the produce section at Whole Foods. You know, suddenly you're thinking about things that are completely different than this poor student who is stuck in a major because I gave you something different to think about. Now, let's play this game with that student. So, rather than asking that student, what can you imagine yourself doing? Just have them start thinking about other friends that they have who are in other majors who seem perfectly happy.
Yeah.
And have them think about what is it that's making them happy and what does their life look like? Not because you want them to pursue the same path as those friends, but because by beginning to think about other people, you're asking your memory a different question, at which point you might suddenly realize, oh, you know what? There's this other thing I also like to do. I wonder what it would be like to do that.
Art makes a really important point about your imagination can only work with things that are in your memory already. I just repeated what Art said.
but I remember that.
I know. but I think that's the reason that's such an important thing, is that many people, when they consider imagination, creativity, those kinds of things, there's a misperception that those things sort of spring forth, you know, spontaneously generated from ether or something. But in fact, you know, it's ways of reassembling bits of stuff that's already in our heads. And for people who are contemplating a life change, whatever the life change is, of course, there's trepidation because you know where you are. You know what's going on there. If you're contemplating doing something else, well, you don't know what that is because you haven't done it yet. And so there are all kinds of things that are making that seem like a more unpleasant, potentially, or threatening or intimidating situation or whatever. But as Art says, once you start putting realistic experiences together with those other opportunities, like you talk to a friend who has a different major, or you maybe go with that person to a class that they're in and see what that's like, or you ask, and maybe somebody will set this up for you, you go to a professional who does the thing that that major typically leads to, and you see what that job is like. And so you now create other things that are now live in your memory related to experiences that you can draw on to imagine what life could be like. And you're not just wondering and saying, well, it's just dark out there. Yeah. I didn't want to think about it. You think, well, God, I saw that, and I spent to that office, and those people were pretty nice, and I went to that class, and all the people in that study group seemed to be digging it. And now you've got a whole different set of memories to draw on in contemplating what's going to happen in the future.
And one of the important things to do, particularly if you have a situation in which you have some flexibility in the course of action you're going to pursue, like a college student thinking about a major, is to engage in practices that will help to guard against confirmation bias. So we've talked about this idea of confirmation bias before, this idea that we are prone to see the world the way we already believe it to be, to focus on information that will confirm our existing beliefs. And imagination can work like that as well. So I imagine this future for myself, and then I focus primarily on information that will help to bring about this imagined future. Now, there are times, of course, where that can be really wonderful. But if you have a little bit of trepidation already about that imagined future,
yeah,
then one of the important things to do is actually to explicitly try some things that are opposed to that vision of yourself. So, I mean, college students, no matter what they think their major is going to be as a freshman, most of the time, those first year choices of majors are governed by stuff you heard of before you came to college. And there's all sorts of other things going on in college. And so taking some courses that don't relate in any way to what you've heard of before is a way of adding new information to memory that can guide your future imagination about what your future might look like.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll continue with our discussion of imagination and talk memory, imagination, and happiness with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.